KPQ. This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Here we go. It's 12:15. This is the show called The Agenda, News Radio 560 KPQ. Kind of a gray day outside, but we're going to be festive and warm here inside. We're going to be hearing some of the Christmas music that you've been waiting for from the Leavenworth Village Voices. But hold on. Got an introduction first. I want you to consider this. Now, you have a voice. I know you do. So let it ring. Give it a fling. Don't worry about a thing. Just open up and sing, and you'll thank me in the long run. Singing is better than holding it in and suffering in silence. So sing, brothers and sisters. Let's all suffer equally under the sound of your voice. Remember that song, Pushing Too Hard by the Seeds, is a one-hit wonder. Anybody remember that song? Nobody remembers Pushing Too Hard by the Seeds out of all you people? Nobody? All right, well, here's the deal. He was a lead singer without a lead singer voice. His name was Sky Saxton. He had a hit despite his substandard voice, and that's the lesson. You can trust my impeccable taste in music. I know from the average, and I know what it's like to have the remarkable voice. I'll never steer you off the road in that regard. It just shows you, without much of a voice, you can make a hit record. Not hit records, just one. You know how that is. So our lesson today teaches us to sing out strongly and without any concern for the consequences. Simply rely on me. I'll judge the market value of your vocal prowess. It's possible that great voices are spread evenly throughout our population, but it's unlikely. It's possible that despite your personal problems with pitch, timbre, sustain, vibrato, and even attention, that make you a charming, novelty type of singer, sort of like Dr. John or Tiny Tim or Victor Borga, people who sing but without a voice, well, this sliver of talent will get you thrown into jail or onto the charts, as it turns out to be. That, too, is unlikely. Perhaps if you stand in the back and lip-sync convincingly, all will be well. Hold the music high. Forget about the terrible gig in Las Vegas. No, everyone else has forgotten about it. All is well now, singers, especially if you do not sing. Let's meet our very special guests who are going to do the singing, the Leavenworth Village Voices. We're lucky to have them here today. And the spokesperson for the group, who arranged this interview over many several emails because we had so many people to bring in, is Julia Penix. Welcome, Julia.
Hi, thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to have you. How many do we have here today?
Well, gosh, let's do a head count. Yeah, we're supposed to have 11. One of them got sick. We're so sorry. But
well, all the mics are on now, ladies and gentlemen. Let's say hello to Julia Penix, who's right here.
Hello.
Rochelle McCann.
Hello.
Debbie Paulson.
Hello.
Dick Tabbitt.
Hello.
James Klarich.
Good afternoon.
David Larson.
Hi.
Barb Sorensen.
Hi.
Allison Bergstrom.
Merry Christmas.
Strode Weaver.
Happy holidays.
And Paul Bergman.
We're here.
Did I forget anybody? Yeah. Sky Saxon, are you in the group? Nope. He's not here today. After what I said, he's never going to sing again.
No.
Tell me about the Village Voices. Where did they all come from anyway? Probably from the village, right?
As a matter of fact, Village of Leavenworth. Village Voices started several decades ago, and we've been singing Christmas music, just Christmas music, for the last few years. But we used to be a full-year choir. It's a big commitment because we do professional-style singing. We memorize our music, and we have a director and an accompanist, and we sound pretty fabulous.
What bands in high school call practice, I call rehearsing.
Yeah,
it's a real rehearsal. Now, with 40 singers, you've got to have a rehearsal, if not one, but several.
Oh, goodness, yeah. We start in August.
For Christmas?
We do.
So you've been singing these songs since August?
Yes, we have.
Oh, you poor things. That's worse. That's worse than a radio station that goes all Christmas at Christmas time.
That's right. We're singing it a lot earlier than that, yeah.
So what is your least favorite Christmas carol, having sung it so many times since August?
Oh, my
because,
least favorite?
Yeah,
you know what's funny?
Whatever it is,
I won't ask
you to sing it.
I start out really disliking at least one or two pieces, and by the time we're done and we're ready to sing the concerts, I actually love all of them.
Mm-hmm. What's your big opening number?
The first one that we're going to be starting with is a medley of different pieces. It's really bright and cheerful, and it's given us the theme for the year, which is, come on, it's Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a dual-edged sword every Christmas time. When the music starts playing, and I go, it's too early. I'm not in the mood. And then my wife reminds me, you're never going to get in the mood. So we're going to play the music anyway. And it always works around. Then my daughter goes to the lengths of having a 70 record set, playlist that everybody has to download and reference, you know. Now we're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas Hawaiian style.
Oh.
Anyway, My point being, the rest of my family has ruined Christmas music for me because they love it so much. My only position is that of the curmudgeon, and I don't want that because we've had enough of those people. So I'm really pleased that you're here today. Merry Christmas to all of you, and if you want to sing, the microphones are on.
Oh, lovely.
These are the Leavenworth Village Voices. They're going to play some music in a minute to accompany them just so they can listen. Before we go to the voice, I should find out where your concert is, because it's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we have a concert. Our first concert of the season was actually at Mountain Meadows, and we did that on Monday this week.
But how did it go?
It was pretty good. That's usually kind of our dress rehearsal, and there were no giant flub-ups, so we did okay. Tomorrow is going to be the big concert. We have guest artists that are going to be coming in. We have some folks from the Cashmere High School are going to be playing saxophone for us. We also have the women's ensemble. We have several members from the women's ensemble here today. That's a subgroup of the main choir, and we're going to be performing a couple pieces. One of those will be accompanied by hammer dulcimer. It's a lot of fun.
Really? And where is it? Who's got the hammer dulcimer?
You know, if I were smart, I'd have brought it today, but it didn't do it.
That's okay.
You're going to have to come to the concert.
I just like them because they're so delicate.
Yeah, they're lovely.
They're really beautiful to watch being played.
We also have the Bavarian brass, so we're going to have tubas playing for us, and then the full choir standing up there on stage. We're going to go from our opening number all the way through the Hallelujah Chorus.
I think I know the answer to this, but is this a labor of love for all of you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Every one of us has volunteered to do this. We do this because we want to be here.
There's also something really powerful about singing in a group.
Yeah, there is.
How would you describe that? Because you must feel the sound swelling around you when you start to get the song right.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love to sing. I love to sing by myself, but I really love to sing with other people. You get such a great sense of connection. And when you're singing in a large group, it's pretty magical.
What's the audience say to you so far when you see their faces?
Oh, that's the best part. You know, singing on the radio is going to be different for us. We're used to seeing people respond to us.
I'll try and be animated over here. Well, I'm a dull boy. We'll give that a shot. So one more time for someone who just tuned in. When's the concert?
And we'll have concert's tomorrow night at 7:30 in Leavenworth at the Church of the Nazarene. We have two more of those coming up on the 7th at 7:30 and on the 9th at 1 o'clock.
And after you sing, we're going to tell everybody that once again.
Awesome.
All right, I'm ready. What song have you chosen for you?
We're going to do Let It Snow and Winter Wonderland.
Okay.
We'll put you in the mood. We're supposed to get some snow here coming up, you know, in a couple weeks.
You're in charge, Julie. If you want it to snow, I'm sure it's going to snow.
Right.
The Leavenworth Village Voices getting ready for their tune.
Outside is frightful, thunder, fire is so delightful, and since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful, and since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and the crops of corn for popping, the lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
When we finally kiss goodnight,
how I hate going out in the storm.
But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
When we finally kiss goodnight,
how I hate going out in the storm.
But if you really hold me tight,
all the way home I'll be warm.
Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. In the lane.
dream by the fire. To face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. To face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland.
Standing ovation. That's what they're getting, a standing ovation. You've heard the Leavenworth Village Voices. They'll be singing through the holidays, and we'll find out when the dates are. Julie, who does all the arranging? That's a lot of arrangement for 40 voices.
It is. Mostly we go ahead and purchase our music from J.W. Pepper, and it's arranged as it is. But we also have a very talented accompanist who does a little bit of our arranging as well, and that's Jennifer.
Excellent.
Jennifer Sidebottom, thanks.
Way to go, Jennifer. Anyway, I thought the harmonies were excellent. Everyone could be heard. Good projection. You get an A, definitely. I mixed it beautifully. For the average person driving down Miller, they thought it was a recording. They thought it was just the most wonderful Christmas song that they've heard. Let's give our thanks once again to Julia Pinnix, Rachel McCann, Debbie Paulson, Dick Tabbitt, James Klarich, David Larson, Barb Sorensen, Allison Bergstrom, Strode Weaver, and Paul Bergman. How'd I do?
Awesome.
Excellent. Everybody's here. Those are the Leavenworth Village Voices, and you can hear them tomorrow. Where and when?
We're going to be at the Church of the Nazarene in Leavenworth at 7:30.
And then?
And then we're going to be at the Church of the Nazarene at Leavenworth at 7:30 on the 7th of December, and again at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on December 9. So if you're a real glutton for punishment, you really want the Christmas thing, you can come up and hear us sing at 1 o'clock on the 9th of December, and then you can walk over for the Christmas lighting ceremony with 20,000 of your closest friends.
It's going to be crowded, isn't it?
It's going to be packed. It's going to be great.
So we're already too late for the light to get to town, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're doomed.
Doomed. I love that.
It's worth the struggle. You just have to pack everybody into the car and give yourself an extra hour to get up there.
Is there a charge for any of the concerts?
Say again?
Is there a door charge for the concert?
There is. It's $20 a ticket, but if you have a family, we can do a family of four for $50. It's a good deal.
And will you sing Good King Wenceslas?
We will not.
It is an outrage.
That's my favorite Christmas carol. I actually sing that year-round.
Really?
But we're going to be singing Christmas carols in town, too. So if you come up not during one of our concerts, but around the weekends during Christmas lighting, you will see us out there. We are going to be singing Christmas carols.
Anybody have a famous Christmas song that they can't do Christmas without? Anyone have one that they have to hear before it's Christmas or not?
Oh, Holy Night for sure.
Oh, God, that's a hard one.
Me too.
Good luck with that one. You better have some range and some sustain.
But as a soprano, it's just a soprano's delight.
So. Oh, it is. You just get up on top and go.
You're right.
Anyone else?
I would agree. Yeah.
Okay, Oh Holy Night is the winner.
Yeah.
Thank you all for coming in today. Have a Merry Christmas and have a great show and break a leg.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Those are the Leavenworth Village Voices.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Elevate your awareness.
Bring it on. Weekdays, 9 to noon, KPQ.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ, I'm Michael Knight. The show is called The Agenda. My very special guest is Chelan County Fire Chief for the number one Chelan County Fire Station. Brian Brett is here. Welcome to KPQ once again, Chief.
Good morning, Michael.
You got some projects going on with Fire Stations 12, Fire Stations 10, and the other ones as well. Did I get them all? I guess Fire Station 13?
That's correct. Fire Station 10, located at the old former Prospector Pies location. Currently, it's demolished, and the debris pile should be hauled off by the end of this week.
And then?
Our Fire Station 12 up at the corner of 5th and Western is about to undergo a major interior renovation to be staffed with our resident firefighters. And the Squealchuck Fire Station is completed, and we are going to have an open house there this Saturday from 11 to 3.
What do you have to put into a modern firehouse that you didn't have to put into a firehouse back in 1945?
The 1945 station at 5th and Western, we want to partition it off and make bedrooms throughout, convert the station into 9 bedrooms, Currently, none of the windows meet legal egress requirements, and doors need to be replaced. The walls have to be put in. Everything needs to be brought up to code. Some of the exterior walls are CMU, and they need engineering reinforcement when we cut out the windows for egress requirements.
So being chief is like being an architect.
Currently it is. Three fire station projects, yes.
But we need these done, and which one's going to be done first?
Well, the Squilchuk station is complete. We currently are utilizing it with continued volunteer response. However, the plan is when we complete Station 10, the Prospector Pies location, our new station, we're going to vacate the old downtown station. We're going to vacate the Maple Street station, and then we'll be strategically placed through the fire district between Sunny Slope, downtown, 5th and Western, Squilchuk, Malaga, and the Wenatchee Heights.
How many men would be stationed in all those stations? If they were all up and working, how many guys do you have going?
We have 12 assigned per shift, and we disperse them amongst the Sunny Slope, the downtown and Squilchuk station, and in Malaga, we keep a mechanic and at least one officer and a firefighter.
There's something about bringing a tree into your house and drying it out when putting electrical outlets on it and then continuing to run the heat in the house. It's a combination that sooner or later is going to cause that Christmas tree to catch on fire in some homes, some unfortunate homes. So how can we prevent that?
Well, whenever you bring a combustible tree into your house, it can pose a hazard. Keep them well watered. Don't leave the lights on overnight. Make sure your Christmas tree lights are UL listed and don't have any lights out on them. That's the main hazard. Keep them well watered.
Any fires that you remember from Christmas time when these trees go up, or by the time you get there, I guess the tree's gone?
Just in January of this year, we did have a fire in South Wenatchee where the Christmas tree was one of the major fuel packages. Prior to our arrival, just the BTUs put out by that tree had broken out two of the windows.
Wow. So it's a hot fire and really a fast fire, too.
They are hot, fast fires.
Is it like an electrical fire, or is it probably not like anything that you can compare it to?
Well, the dried-out tree will get going immediately and put off a lot of a high heat release rate. An electrical fire, it has to have a competent, readily ignitable ignition first fuel next to it. An arc will have the intensity and heat, obviously, to start a fire, but needs a fine first fuel next to it to get it going. For example, yesterday's fire on Kittitas Street looks like it's a pinched extension cord that was repetitively hit with a screen door. Oh. And what can happen in that case, which it looks to be the case, is it'll series arc and not enough to trip the circuit breaker. So it'll continually series arc, and it had combustibles laid right on top of where this occurred. That appears to be what started that fire.
Example I've always seen in videos is that you use a rocking chair to rock over the extension cord until it turns into a fire.
Exactly.
That's incredibly dangerous. Something that I know that no one listening right now has done that intentionally, but look around. Maybe you are pinching an extension cord, and if it's an old one, get it out of there before it burns down the mountain, as they say.
And don't splice them, just replace them.
That's it. It's not going to save you anything to save a couple bucks that way. Wildfire liaison companies together, what does that represent in your mind as the chief?
Well, our community wildfire liaison has done an excellent job in the community outreach related to wildland. There were three seasonal firefighters brought on to work under our community wildfire liaison. They did an amazing job this year of doing home assessments throughout the fire district, and specifically a targeted home assessment outreach in the Squilchuk drainage. They assessed over 800 homes in the South Wenatchee and up through the heights along that, both from the road and the detailed home assessments.
In our part of the world, a forest fire can burn into a residential area or the other way around. And now that for a while have you been chief, you watched around the world winter fires burning incredibly out of control in nearby states. Can Washington be visited by that kind of a winter fire that burns in November and December?
Well, just last year we had that major fire on November 1st right there in Monitor. So, yes, our fire seasons seem to be getting longer and we are at greater risk.
And is that going to have to change the way we staff our ability to fight these fires? Are we going to have to pour more money into it?
Yes. For example, As you've seen in the news, the DNR is proposing to hire more firefighters, put more on full-time year-round, and they've really invested in their aviation assets, of which we are a partner in.
Because when the fires burn, even in November, you have to be able to fight them on the ground and via the air.
Yes.
And get there in a hurry.
Yes. The greatest success is throwing all the resources available at it as quickly as possible and containing the fire in the first operational period.
A lot of people, I won't say a lot of people, some people who have never been rescued before, just imagine if they get lost in the woods, you'll come running and you bring a helicopter so they don't have to walk out. But it's not as easy as all that, is it?
It is not that easy. It's logistically difficult.
And some helicopters can't fly above altitudes. I know that they always have to call the Navy from the West Coast to get them over here, and they're on Sikorsky or whatever they're driving.
Correct. This emergency situation would dictate the type of helicopter ordered, and we coordinate through emergency management to make that request.
Is that because the smaller helicopters that we would normally use at sea level just don't work at altitude?
That could be the case, Michael. I'm not familiar enough with the rescue helicopters. Our focus, obviously, is on the wildland aspect.
Right. Each year we talk about the volunteers that you rely on every day that you fight fires. How many volunteers do you have right now, and how many do you need?
Currently, we have 10 in our resident firefighter recruit academy in Malaga. These individuals are undergoing a 12-week academy and will come out with firefighter 1 and hazmat ops and emergency medical technician certifications.
That's a lot to learn, isn't it?
It is a lot to learn. And then we put them on shift to supplement our staffing. Currently, there's 6 of these individuals in our staffing pool that went through the same program last year. We have about 15 to 20 volunteers in the combat reserve and support roles in the organization. However, we always need more volunteers, and we are glad to bring you on and train you and utilize you with any skills you have.
So if I've been a volunteer and I've gone through the academy and I'm working weekends or whatever my shift might be, if a full-time job opens up, am I considered first, or do you bring in somebody with more experience from outside?
When we do our hiring, as we currently are, if you're a volunteer in good standing within our organization, we give you preference points to elevate you in the hiring process.
So it's a good way to start. And plus, you have to learn the ropes somehow.
It's a great way to start. Our qualifications brief and to bring on and select potential candidates delineates experience requirements.
One thing that we should mention is that if you're of a certain age and probably past your firefighting days, there's still a lot of work that you can do in communications and support roles. There are many roles available to people who know their onions about firefighting.
Absolutely. We have a combat, reserve, and support roles, and the combat volunteers are the ones who are doing the most arduous physical required tasks, putting the air packs on, going in buildings, and packing the hose up the hillsides. However, the reserve volunteers, they drive tenders for us and supply water on the incidents, which is a critical need we have. And our support volunteers, they run our rehab trailer to take care of the firefighters during the incident, provide food. They coordinate our banquets. We can use any skill sets anyone has, for example, web page development, social media.
Absolutely, you need all that. That's a modern firefighter's tool.
It is.
And plus, it's a lot easier to communicate that way, especially in times of emergencies. Just go to our website. Don't keep calling the front desk.
Yes.
And do you provide information on the website that people can follow along?
Do not keep real-time updates. We refer everyone to the Department of Emergency Management's webpage.
To one source.
Yes.
Because in the fog of a fire war, you can get the wrong information if it's coming from multiple sources.
Exactly, and theirs is updated.
You've been chief for a while now. I imagine everyone recognizes that you're the chief now, and you've settled into the job. What are you doing that you didn't think you would be doing as chief? Any surprises?
Currently this year, it's been almost 6 months in the chief's role. This year, Mike Burnett, who I'm replacing, he really thought this out really well. This year happened to be a year when multiple contracts are due for our organization to negotiate, and we have been going through all of those. So as we transition out, I'll have time gaps now before these contracts come due again. So it's a great time for me to come in and learn all the intricacies of the organization.
So you're the budget master now, as well as everything else that goes on in the firehouse.
Yes, I've got the budget.
So where's the chief? Don't be mad at him if he's behind his desk with a sharp pencil figuring out how to get through this budget thing.
A lot of Excel work in the chief's office.
There you go. Nice of you to come in today, Chief. Merry Christmas to you. Have a safe Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
That's our chief, Brian Brett, from the firehouse right down the street from you on News Radio 560 KPQ. It's 1247.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.